In World War II, von Braun, a German scientist, developed the V1 rocket, which launched from various parts, joining the North Sea, and rained down on London. These rockets had about a ton of explosives and sailed up into the stratosphere and rained down. And the question is, was he a Nazi? Because we have developed another version of von Braun where he goes to America and helps the US space program, helps the Americans get to the moon first and wins the peace, wins the Cold War. He's a critical German scientist here. And what we understand as a German scientist, so we tend to say he's more a German scientist than a Nazi, but he was a SS major wearing a black uniform, and he did use slave labor in his bomb-proof rocket production factories. And he did actually understand and how to communicate to Hitler. We definitely haven't tried him for war crimes or anything like that, and he lived a successful second life in America. And so there is this question we have across when we move to the various people. Schrodinger is another person. Various Germans that we look at, and we say, "Oh, look, we really want to hold people to account for what they did." We come up next to another person called Max Planck, and I've had to discuss with him because his theory is essential for the discovery of modern science, and it's essential that we really understand it. And it's one of these theories which is, in its explanation, is not necessarily simple but profound. There's a series of steps which you have to go through or to understand it, and all too often the internet and various sources, it's not explained, or a key step is missing, and it's a very disturbing to actually read it and listen to it if you do understand it. And obviously in my podcast I want to actually explain it a bit more, but we've come across this question, the intermediate question, where we're pausing and saying, was he a Nazi? And this is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific. In this case, I'm developing my podcasting skills, rehabilitating from a heart condition, sort of putting all the little bits and pieces together. But this is a more profound question, because you can push marketing, where you get someone to answer a few questions and their brain gets locked into these things. Do you use a vacuum cleaner? Do you have electricity? You say yes, yes, yes. Well, this is a vacuum cleaner which uses electricity. Will you buy it? Yes. And that's a very poor example, but you've got von Braun and a few other things, people who are obviously Nazis, and a whole series of thinking and expression which describes what's going on. But what was going on is a bit more complex with Max Planck and Hitler and the Nazis and stuff like that. And it's the actual complexity is something which you tend to miss, and that same complexity is existing today. This is, if I can basically describe it, the complexity is a group or a people in power who have decided that they're going to shortcut moral decisions, and actually shortcut moral discussions, and they move the space with which you can discuss moral things to an uncomfortable place where you have to actually sacrifice things and think in a different way in order to have entry to these people. So this is what my thesis is, that Max Planck moved step by step, like a frog in boiling water, to a place where he could have access to discuss these things, but hasn't realized that he's moved away and having access to this power which has moved away from moral discussion, i.e. equal discussion. This is listening to an argument, oh yes, you're right, I won't do this, I won't persecute people, I won't invade, I won't bomb people, because that's illogical. I've listened to you, that hasn't happened, and that's so the idea of a group controlling the access points, moral access points, discussion access points. And so the very people they listen to have already moved to a point, they've sort of placed a filter on who, what they'll discuss and who they'll speak to. And the people left trying to discuss with them have inadvertently moved, either moved away or moved into it. So I've got a model for it. Now, that's sort of the more abstract model. And I say that this model exists today, that we have groups in power and in administration or running things which have formed an inner world for themselves, have adjusted the moral discussion, what's going on, and then therefore only listen to certain people and exclude other people who may question them. And the people who maneuver in order to discuss them have actually lost ground and moved around, i.e. that the universe has, or Max Planck's universe obviously, had slowly rotated around such that the values that he held before would no longer work. And so eventually he migrated moving around, whereas other people like Einstein moved away. So let's develop a slightly deeper idea of... let's first start off with, let's call them Group A. I'm going to letter them. I'm actually thinking off the top of my head. Group A, this is sort of the primitive people who have a desire, have an understanding, a real politics, realizing if I take power and if I shut down people and establish a culture which supports me, I can actually rotate and steer society in the direction that I want. And I would contest that this is a more primitive thing, that in ancient or in primitive societies you'd have the king of the group, and the king would become would establish his wants such that his wants would actually dominate the values of the group, and so it would be his group. He'd take ownership of the group. Subtly, not day one I'm going to be king, he'd go, and through a series of events the group will rotate such that he's the king. And so that would be all okay for a group of 50. But what eventually happens is that the group polarizes or buds off. And there's a group of people who are punished, who are excluded, and they form a separate group and they move apart. Now, if they move a small distance apart, that'd be okay. Or this is in my sort of mathematical view, just looking at things, that would be okay. But what happens is that they compete for resources and they pose a threat. So these two groups repel and push each other away. So I would say that the human race has not expanded for seeking resources, seeking better conditions, or naturally. They've actually repelled each other. They've actually found... By the time there's a group of 150 or that much, they find the other people so unacceptable that they actually butt off, move apart, and then they war, and part of warfare or fighting against moves apart. So I would say back in the... and look, there's a great thesis for it, because if you look at Hitler, the... Ring of the Nibelung, Wagner, they hark to this more ancient time of a leader and a group and loyalty of the group and moving apart. If you read the Ring Cycle, that is a real programming, an insight into the programming, thinking of the time. And so Hitler, if you say, is a, sort of a large, massive, industrial version, inversion of it, using record-keeping, writing, to actually push this to an extreme. And as you can see, there were groups pushed apart, and there's warfare and all this motion and stuff like that. And part of that theory is that you actually say who's in, who's out. People who don't agree with what you're saying, it's not that you can either choose to actually... enter in a dialogue, actually resolve it, or you could say that person is out. It's that way of processing, which is a sort of a primitive processing, which has got to a large scale. Now, I would say that given that through human history, you can see from primitive man through this phase of history, and you can see other groups around like it. One of the things that strikes me is that in modern times, you can see exactly the same thing. This is a leadership group coming in and saying, that person's out, I don't understand what that person's saying, and pushing them out. If we get down to Max Planck, Max Planck was in, I'll call him a B group. That is people in the time before computers, there was a time of equations and deep, high concepts. And this is a level of science that we've lost touch with at the moment. And this is understanding Hamiltonians, the idea of actions and minimizations and paths of least action. All these systems, there's a way of thinking which has been lost, but a very cautious way of thinking of trying to actually move off your plate anything that doesn't make sense and actually work with only the high quality stuff that makes sense. And that's what Max Planck began to do. And it's, I'm describing something and you probably will not understand it because you've been taught through a very thin band of what science is and you've been supported by computer models and stuff like that. So it's really hard to actually understand the way that Max Planck thought. And so his constant is, Max Planck's constant, H, is a fundamental quanta of action. Action is a energy times pass path, and joule seconds is the Planck's constant. It's this sort of thing, and the way that you look at and it's quite easy to read his Nobel Prize speeches, you read it up. Now, the interesting thing is that if you really, really force yourself and say, I'm only going to interpret this through the science that I've been given, you read it, and a lot of people just skip over pages of what he says, and they can't make sense of it, and they assume this man didn't make sense. So the important thing is that he's a B group of scientists, and he is not skilled to interpret what the Hitler process is. So eventually he goes up, salutes, says Hail Hitler before his speeches. But I've got this other interpretation of his plea to Hitler of saying, look, these are not Eastern European Jews. He was actually trying to find a digital viewpoint that we are going to run a system, part of the Nazi computer, or the system of, I think there's a person, I don't to offend people, but Trump's got the same thing. You're either in America or you're out. This digital point, we're going to build a wall, a barrier. A wall is very much a digital thing. You're either in or you're out. But he was trying to actually flex that by saying, well, can we expand our version of Jewish? And of course, we're listening into it. It's hard to say where he stood and his moral stuff, but I don't think the moral processing is going in here. Now, we want to do this moral processing, but you've got to be really guarded against yourself. Are you moral processing from that group A perspective in order to exclude something and exclude a person? But what's the interesting thing is that excluding the person is excluding the thinking, which means that you yourself are controlled and pushed in. So we've got that B section. I have another C section, which I would describe Einstein, which is a mesh, multiple possibilities, a global strategic view. And not that I think I'm in the same league of Einstein, but I definitely understand that from the structure of my thinking. I'm cross-dominant, double speech center. I tend to think parallel on different things. And if you look at Einstein's work, if you look at his papers, he accepts everything, and he doesn't process it too much. He sort of says to what value you can get out of things. So Planck processed everything and cleaned it. Einstein was a bit more take this. We don't know the quality of it. There is something of quality in that. And he took three or four things and actually extracted the high quality of it. And this is something of a parallel mesh thinking. The Americans did this in terms of gathering intelligence, and they didn't know the quality of the intelligence, but they tried to mathematically work out where the high quality is. So that's your C type of thinking. Again, that thinking nowadays is very hard to get out. In a certain sense, the internet is along that it's feeding into that C grade thing, because there's a huge amounts of information. It's hard to pick the quality of it and how to move it across. And I have a sort of a D type of thinking, which is where people just, this is scientists I know, just apply, don't ask too much, but apply just computer simulations and actually, I suppose, create the real world and computer world, just try to compare the two, theoretical and experiment, and try and look like that. So you've got all those A, B, C, D ways of thinking, and in terms of my overall expression, I'm actually trying to actually create a concrete abstract terms to actually sort these things out. So in this case, just off the top of my head, I've created an ABCD process to go across, which by its very nature says that we have to look at this at a different level, and actually rather than say was Planck a Nazi, it's a lot more complex than that. A lot of people say, well, I want that because I want the decision. They sort of see things, problems very much like football matches or cricket matches. So who won? You know, they have the court score, the umpire, they have sort of this society umpire, which says such and such a group is bad. This is the result. What is the result of World War II? Yeah, who won World War II, you know, winning World War II, and that type of stuff that goes in. And of course, this type of sporting view, where everyone is naturally in Group A and they don't realise that Group A is all about controlling the outcome, but controlling the outcome by controlling the thinking of people. So they think in that. And so part of that control thing is he a friend or is he a foe? Is he a Nazi or is he lovable? Or, you know, how do I handle him? It's sort of a binary view to get across. And of course, this other technique is much more nuanced, complex technique. And the only advantage of it is that it allows you to read papers or interpret things by saying, oh, well, what group is this person coming from, and what are the limitations, and how come various groups can't interpret, say, if you're a Group C paper, which is the Einstein's paper, how come people in Group A are not interpreting it? And you have a bit of an explanation for it, which is the ideal of all models. This is Peter Hill Explains. I'm going to put it up here. This is probably a too intense, complex, abstract podcast, but that's what it is. That's myself thinking science, and I hope that you can understand. Thanks for listening. In the meantime, keep on teaching and keep on doing science.